What's up, Disruptive Innovation Podcast? It's Ashley Tajay.
And it's me, Tasha. Hi, everybody.
Hey, DI fam. It's Nikki. How y'all doing today?
What's up? How are we feeling today?
Feeling great. How are you, ladies?
I'm doing good.
We good. I'm good over here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things happening. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
In the world. Yeah. In America.
Mm-hmm.
People crazy, yo.
Yeah, crazy. So you want to start off, Nick?
Yeah, I'll start off. So I had like a couple crazy things happen to me like this past week. I'll recap a little bit. I went to a comedy show.
Cool. Okay.
And it was dope. It was for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the comedian was, I guess, some guy that was on, I don't watch the show, mm-hmm. so, but I guess he was on America's Got Talent. And he's a comedian with Tourette's. That's like his story, his backstory and stuff like that.
Oh.
And his show was okay. Like, it was cool. You know, his material was all right. First of all, we went to Albany, which is, and we went to an early show.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
I'll say that to say, like, you know, when I go into a space, like, I look around to see, like, how many people look like me, how many black and brown faces.
Okay,
got you.
Obviously, right? And, like, you know, how many people are young? And there was a lot of older people, like, a lot of boomers in the crowd, and, like, a lot of white boomers in the crowd.
Okay.
And this young man was, like, in his 30s. Okay. He was, like, all tatted and stuff like that. So you could tell that there is a generational gap, but...
Definitely.
As he gets into his material, okay. You had a table that was up in the front that just was not compliant with his set.
Okay.
And I get it. You go to a comedy show. I do feel like if you're going to sit in the front row, like, you have to be okay with being picked on.
Of course.
Like, they're probably going to use you. You're probably going to get picked on. But he went so far, like, he went in to
Are
the
you
point
serious?
To where, bro, he kicked these people out of the show. Like, he literally stopped the entire performance
what?
To curse them out. Like, fuck you, I don't fucking care about what you think or feel, get out of the show.
But what was his reason for that?
Yeah,
though?
What did they say?
So
it was insane, so... I don't, you know, and I'm going to give him a little bit benefit of the doubt because I wasn't sitting that close, so I don't know if these people heckled him.
Okay.
But he was mad that this lady has had his back, her back towards, turned, her back
oh.
turned towards him.
Okay.
So, like, in this venue, you could order food and you could order, like, a full dinner.
Oh.
It's a comedy joint, but they had food. So, this table must have ordered food, and she was sitting eating her food. And he was so tight that this table had their back towards turned him.
Mm.
And as soon as he got up there, like, he started ragging on them. And they had conversation, like, you could hear it in the crowd. They were going back and forth. And she was like, I'm hungry. Like, I worked all day. It's my birthday.
Got
like,
you.
I'm hungry. I just want to eat my food.
Got you.
And he was, like, going at her, like, oh, white girls are the only girls that... care about if it's their birthday. Like, they want to scream and shout, like, oh, it's my birthday.
Well,
like,
that's
who cares?
Not true.
Yeah, I celebrate my birthday. I actually love my birthday.
Yeah,
It was, like, kind of funny, you know what I mean? But it just got taken too far. And it made me think, like, I don't know, man. Are we entitled? It really made me think, like,
ooh.
Is this generation entitled? Is it a generational thing? And then I'm going to jump into politics because I know we're going to talk about politics a lot, too, this episode.
Yes.
People who tend to be younger, who are of this generation, most of our generation is clearly not Republican, they're Democrat, or they're on the left.
Yes.
Are we breeding an entitled mentality? By thinking, now, most of the people in the crowd who are younger, like, everybody jumped on his bandwagon. People were cursing these people out.
Get out of here! You
see, I think that that's a little far-fetched.
Get out of here, we don't want you in here. And he was calling them entitled, like... You think that just because, I don't know, you came to this show and you could do whatever you want, you came to a comedy show to look at it, to watch it, to see it. He just, like, really went in and he called them entitled. And in my opinion, bro, he did it to the right table. Because I'm going to tell you, if I was that close and anybody tried to jump on me like
yeah,
that,
yeah,
we'd have been fighting.
Exactly, yeah, I would have ruined the show.
Like, you're not telling me how I'm spending my money and then how I'm supposed to act towards you.
Exactly.
If you're that funny, my guy, I'm going to turn around.
Exactly.
If I'm hungry, I paid my ticket. I'm going to eat my food.
Exactly.
Like, you can joke and you can heckle, but once you kind of cross that line, I feel like yo, keep that same energy in the Bronx. Let me see you do a show in the Bronx and keep that same energy.
I understand that. And, I can definitely understand
right.
that.
Right. And like, I mean, if it was...
Like, it's corny to me.
It is.
I get what you're saying, like, you want people to pay attention, but I feel like nobody owes you anything.
No.
And I'm pretty sure he had to have been in a setting before at a venue where not everybody's paying attention to you. Most comedians have to experience that in their career, where you bomb one night. They're not, comedians are not always on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
They're not always coming with great jokes all the time. So if there's a situation where you're bombing, like you just suck, everybody's not paying attention. Most people are probably booing you or at least asking for their money back towards the end of the show.
But I think his problem shouldn't have been with them. His problem should have been with the venue. Why would you have somebody performing and then have people eating while they're performing? That makes no sense. It should have been a situation where they should have ate before. Or if I would have walked on stage and noticed that there were chairs with the back turned towards me, what are they supposed to do? Like, if that's how the venue is set up, then you need to have an eating from 6 to 7. And from 7:30 to 8, we switch the chairs around and everybody's facing the stage. I wouldn't even perform somewhere where all the chairs are not facing the stage. Or at least where they can't have, they could sit, but then their face is towards the stage. I think his problem was with the venue. Why would you take it out on them? But all comedians usually do that. They usually pick on people in the crowd. I mean, they do it on Wild and Out. So I don't think it was really entitlement. That's usually what happens. That's why I feel like if you really don't want to be picked on, or if you go into a comedy show, you got to make sure you're on your P's and Q's. And if you're really not feeling that, sit in the back. Because they're going to make jokes about people in the crowd, especially if their set is trash and they realize people are just staring at them. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, well, look at this guy's hair. You got to do something to make it funny.
Got you.
And you know what? Although I think what he did was wrong, it worked. Because he went in on them and then the crowd got into it. Now the crowd is going to be like, yo, that guy was actually good, even though he really wasn't.
Nah, he was trash.
Exactly.
He was. In my opinion, he was mediocre at best.
Oh,
and
wow.
It wasn't that these people weren't soft in the sense to where they were complaining about him picking on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I do think it's fair game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's entitlement that you are not entitled to me to turn my chair around and to watch you. If I paid my ticket and I'm paying to be in a space.
Yeah, I understand that.
And I'm paying to be entertained. If you do your job properly, guess what?
I'm gonna turn around
if it's worth my time or my while.
Facts.
You're not entitled to me to do what you say just because I'm watching your show. I've already paid my ticket.
Right.
So they had discourse and they went back and forth, that's cool. But then you took it, he stopped the show. It was dumb awkward in there.
I guess we would have to really be there to, like, see the whole thing play out to give a real opinion. I feel like he shouldn't have even gave a damn. If they're paying customers and they've already paid, I feel like who gives a fuck?
And he already got his back in, so it's the problem.
It doesn't matter. But then again, I'm not a person who... You know, comedians, they do that for praise. It's something deeper than just making people laugh. I feel like it's definitely on a different level. I don't want to say superficial, but I feel like there's something deeper to comedy than just making people laugh. I feel like it has to do with insecurities within that person, that comedian. So maybe his ego was bruised. I mean, clearly.
That's my point. I think that that's fine. And it's cool that your ego is bruised, and it's cool. I mean, I get that. Like, comedy was part of his healing and part of his story because he still suffers with Tourette's and just kind of like what he's been able to do within that space. He has a very dope story, and I'm sure on a regular night his set would be better. Mm-hmm. But for you not to be able to function because something did not go your way, and then you point fingers at somebody else who did pay to come and see you.
Yeah, that's what kids do.
You curse them out and then throw them out of the show. When he stopped the show, he could barely get back on target. Like, it was like dead silence. We watched them argue back and forth. Then he couldn't even get his shit together. Like, you could tell it really upset him.
I think that has to do with him, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I think that's just something within himself. I don't think everyone in this generation does, because I don't care. Like, if I'm getting paid, that's even more of the reason why I'm going to finish my set and have a good night. I might say something at the end. Like, next time, turn your back is very rude, which it is rude to have your back turned towards me. Like, that's not entitlement. It's rude. You came to see the show, but I would have had my problem with the venue, not with the people in the crowd. If that's how the chairs are, I mean, what am I supposed to do? If it's a dinner theater,
you think,
like,
it's rude? I don't think it's
rude. I think it's rude for your, if I go, if I'm performing and your backs are turned to, like, even when certain artists are performing and they see that people are more focused on recording, so they're not really paying attention, there's multiple artists who say, put the phone down and be in the moment. Yeah. I don't think that's wrong to tell people, be in the moment.
I think that's corny.
You think that that's corny?
Like, yo, if I pay my money, let me do what I'm doing. Like, I'm gonna rock out. Like, okay, let me do it my way.
But come on, Nick. They're
signing up or paying here that I have to adhere to X, Y, and Z. Like, but do you, my experience.
So do you think that they were giving him their undivided attention by having their back towards him?
No. But who doesn't say that that's what they signed up for?
So, but how many people performed? How many people performed, though? Was there, like, just one person, or was there, like, 15?
There was probably like 3 or 4 comedians. He was the final act. Like, he was the,
yeah. If he's the final act, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
After he's the last person,
you need to look at me.
Nah, you order your food like within the first act or two, and then, you know, you get your drinks, and then by the time the food comes, yada yada, and he was already on stage.
Mm-hmm.
See, and this is what I'm saying. This is our generation gap. I think it's a generational thing. I'm not surprised you feel that way, Ash.
I don't know. I just feel like that's rude. I think that that's rude. But I would blame the venue first. I've never been to a comedy show and the chairs had their back turned in the front row. That's rude. What are we doing?
I've been to a couple comedy shows.
Yeah, that's not normal.
Everybody is facing the stage.
Yeah, what is the point of that? What is the point of having
they may have been orientated properly, like, upon initial setup. As soon as that food came, because everybody was sitting at like a regular table.
So they was like, "Fuck this, I'm hungry."
Yeah, and which is understandable, because if it's if you're getting a comedy show,
what's she supposed to do?
Yeah, if it's a comedy show dinner, cool. But to me, I feel like that wasn't a good setup. I would have had the dinner first, then the comedy show, or the comedy show, then you stay, turn the chairs around, you get a dinner. I don't understand. That's like going to see Jay-Z perform at a dinner theater, and then the front row's back is towards him. You're going to, if we do a live podcast for Disruptive Innovation,
yes,
and we are including dinner, uh-huh, and we are in the middle of our set, mm-hmm, and people have their backs turned to us, and you came to see us, I'm going to say, excuse me, don't you want to be a part of the show? There's no way you could be engaged in the show. And to me, he has a problem. Obviously, he has Tourette's, so he's probably thinking, like, oh, they're judging me because of my disorder, so now they have their back turned towards me. He was probably bullied as a kid. He's holding that in. But I feel like it is rude. Like, did you come to see the show or did you come to eat? What are we doing? But I would blame the venue.
I'll give you the fact that it's rude.
It's rude.
It may not be my favorite thing.
No.
But just because I'm here doesn't mean you're owed something. And I do think it's a generational thing, because I feel like if you talk to older people,
mm-hmm,
older people are going to go out and do what they have to do, mm-hmm, and make it happen. Like, if you are coming up on stage and you do see people with their backs turned, you got to earn that shit. They're going to come. People are going to come and show out.
So
and do what they have to do and then earn their respect.
So do you, like, think he needs to
earn? The mentality of earning something, to me, nowadays, is way softer.
So do you think, like, he needs to earn it?
People don't know, like, you got to earn shit sometimes. Not everything is just handed over to you just because you showed up.
So you think that he needs to earn it because he's not that good? Because I guarantee you, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart would all have a problem if the front row has their back turned. So they are not a part of this generation. So they would have a problem with that. Steve Harvey, Bernie Mac, rest in peace. They would, all the legends would be like, excuse me, are you here to watch me or are you here to eat? And then if they was sitting there eating, and let's just say they was overweight, niggas would throw a shade at their weight. Let's just say niggas was eating and you was on a date and your date was ugly, they gonna throw shade at your date. It's a come on, respect me. So it's like, do you think that he should not be entitled because he's not that good, or he doesn't have a name yet, or do you think he should just be entitled just because we're human?
That's a good question.
Because Kevin, come on, because if Kevin Hart did that, yeah.
Respect me.
It's respect.
And to me, respect is earned. It is not something that you are endowed to.
So it's because he trash.
Is the mentality that I'm saying. Like, a lot of those legends, when they were doing little circuits like that, you think they had the ability to be like, yo, respect me, turn around, do this, do that, do this, do that.
Not at the beginning.
Not at the beginning.
Absolutely not. Like, it's an uphill battle. Like, you have to really push yourself to get to the point to where people are going to give you their respect without you having to ask it. And I think that element is what's missing.
Okay.
Got you.
Okay.
So he needs to get his feet wet a little bit more.
I just think in general, like, our mentality as, I don't know, I do think it's a younger generation thing. I think most younger people, and to me, that's a soft mentality. You're soft-minded. Mm-hmm. You're soft.
Got
you. That you think that you automatically are endowed somebody's respect just because of whatever it may be. Prior generations, I feel like, knew that coming in, you're going to have to earn that. It's not going to be given to you.
Agreed.
And when you weren't presented with it, initially, you weren't offended. You knew that it was your job to earn it.
Exactly. Agreed. I agree with that. Definitely agree with that. Well, wow. So overall, the show was trash, basically, right?
I definitely would not pay it again. Like, it was mediocre at best.
No, but see, I'm not going
to... It wasn't even funny in the first place.
Like, oh, yeah. And
gosh, I'm mad you even went.
I'm not going to see anybody that I don't know.
Yeah, no. Okay. Like, yeah. When I went to go see Kevin Hart...
That's different.
At Mid-Hus... I'm saying, that makes like, fun. The Civic Center, that shit was, like, we were busting guts from the jump until when it was over. Like, if I'm going to pay my money, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's definitely going to be someone that, first of all, I think is truly funny. And then someone I want to spend my money on, because I don't like spending money on shit.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm with you. I don't want to say I was ropey-dope into it, but, like, I didn't know the comedian, and I was like, man, like, all right, we're not doing anything else.
Gotcha.
We'll go, but, like, this is not my type of comedy show. But I went anyways with the open minds, and I was like, yo, I should have saved my ass at home for this shit.
Right.
It was trash.
Right.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. Damn younger generation. These Bernie Sanders voters.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders. Sanders. No, it's not about handouts, y'all. So then let's get into that then. Let's change the subject. All right, come on, so let's start.
Quickly shifting. Okay, we're going to talk about the Democratic debates. Primary debate.
The last week.
Last week and last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And... My opinion is it's just BS.
Yo, it's a circus.
Yeah, it really is.
But it always is.
Like a straight shit show.
Yeah, it always is, though. That's what the debate is. Embarrass yourself in front of everybody and cut each other off. We tell you, you have a minute and 15 seconds to speak, but we're going to allow 20 seconds into you talking someone else to answer the question. Although I just told you, each person has a minute and 15 seconds to speak. So it's been like that for decades. That's not something new. If you watch, because I watch every time, especially the Republican one, they've been doing this for decades.
Oh, yeah, I think
since it started.
Yeah, I think both parties do the same thing, but
it's a mess.
I feel like it's just, what is the purpose of it is what I understand what the purpose is supposed to be. You know, you talk about the issues, there are questions that are being brought up, and you have to defend yourself, to solidify yourself as a candidate, a valuable candidate. But I don't understand the whole having six different people who are not giving each other the respect at best of what proper etiquette. If someone asks one person a question, you allow them to fully answer it. Why cut them off? Why just, and then throw jabs. Like,
last night, the jabs were coming for
Bernie Sanders' neck.
And the sad part about it is that they're all old.
They bring up. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And they all old. So for them to be doing that, like, what is that?
With the exception of Pete.
Pete is up there. He's not 20. Pete is older.
38.
Pete's only 38?
Yeah. The nigga's 38. He's
I thought he was like 45.
No, I took inventory of everybody because I was just like, yo, let me find out what these niggas are about. Like, but I just feel like, I got a question now. Based on what you guys seen last week and last night, who do you think would be the best Democratic candidate to go up against Donald Trump?
Bernie Sanders.
Okay. I gotta be honest with you right now. I don't know. Like, I'm real stuck.
Okay. Are there more than one in your opinion? Or you just know that, like, no one fits the bill?
I think Elizabeth Warren, if she stopped making it so much about herself, she would be able to do it. But I think she would fold. So, definitely Bernie, in my opinion. So,
okay.
To me, it's either Bernie or Elizabeth Warren. But Bernie is so extreme in his stance that I don't know if you're going to get moderate Democrats to vote that left.
Ooh, gotcha.
And you know what I mean? And you're going. And the thing to me is, Trump's base is so emboldened right now. Like, they are.
Agreed.
They know that they support their guy.
Oh, yes,
hands down, 120%.
Mm-hmm.
So whomever is going to go up against them has got to have at least similar support or majority support of the Democrats. And I don't know if the Democrats are going to support Bernie like that because he is so far left.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of
things. What makes Bernie so far left?
Well, a couple of things. One thing that...
Socialism, babe. Democratic socialism. Yeah. Not everybody's ready for that. That's a very extreme... Even for the Democrats, that's an extreme stance.
Yeah. I totally agree. And then the whole healthcare thing, the $50 trillion over a course of 10 years, I get it. You're breaking it up for 10 years, but...
I'm glad you brought that up.
That's a lot of money.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I just feel like... Whoa, dude.
That is a lot of money.
Everybody to have free healthcare. I mean, where is the money coming from, though?
Okay.
That's my issue. Go ahead.
That's true. I'm very glad you brought that up.
No problem.
So what was the number again? Say the number.
50 trillion.
Over a span of how long?
10
years. Boom. So 50, you divide that by 10 years, that's 5 trillion a year. So Donald Trump has used $639 billion in military spending from whenever he was elected, which was 2016 to 2017, for the military. Tell me, what is the difference?
Okay. All
right. Like, we got to stop acting like what Bernie is doing is unexplainable. We got to stop acting like what Bernie is doing is just something that's absurd. You got a nigga in the office right now that are sending people to fight in war that he started. Okay, he's trying to start up a World War III. Would you rather have a World War III or would you rather have free healthcare? I'm going off with healthcare. Would you rather our tax dollars go to the military or our tax dollars go for all of us to have healthcare? For all, and Bernie also brought up, too, about schooling. Why are we paying to go to school? Why? We are in so much debt. I would rather my tax money go to me being able to get a good education, me being able to go to the doctor and being able to get the right information to be treated the same, because we got to be honest too. A lot of people saying, oh, I don't think that we should have the same health care, but a lot of us do have the same health care. But if you are black, you are not getting the same treatment that a white person is getting when you go to the doctors. Okay. So we have to think about that too. If we're all rich, poor, middle class, everybody is getting the same treatment, there's no way possible you can be judgy just because of the color of somebody's skin. Trump is wasting so much money on the military. Bernie wants to waste so much money, which to me it's not wasting, on the people of America. What is the difference?
No, I don't disagree.
I don't understand how people could say that Bernie is spending
with what Donald Trump.
You don't, but the thing is that it's happening. So you telling me you would rather have this nigga Trump in here for another 4 years than to vote for Bernie?
I know.
That's basically what you're saying. When everybody is going at Bernie for the dumbest things to me. Oh my God, $50 trillion. Like, okay, the government makes the money. We're not making the money. They're not going to send us a bill and say, listen, we need $50 trillion, so $100 million needs to come from you. Yeah, it's going to come out of the taxes, but they're doing that already, and they're giving it to the military. We don't need... What are we fighting for?
Yeah,
You got people. We're not even fighting for our own. We're not fighting for ourselves. He's sending these people over to wherever they're at to fight for what?
Like, chime in, Nick.
Come on, Nick.
Yeah, man. You know,
yeah.
She got me silent.
Like, whatever he's doing, sending our troops over, I don't know if I agree with that, because to be honest with you, I think we need way more information on what he's doing and why he's doing it. So for that, to be honest with you, I can't speak on it and sound educated. What I do believe is that if we are going to put money into something, I don't think that it's wrong to put money into your military. I don't disagree with allocating dollars for the military. I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
What I would like to see them explain a little bit better is, let's talk about how dollars are allocated. This, however many trillions of dollars is a lot of money. Where is that coming from? So as opposed to, you know, for an example, as opposed to them talking about what Trump is doing with the money now, blah, 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 put things into perspective for us. I really wish that they would chunk things down a little bit more.
Yeah, I understand.
So, like, I actually heard AOC. I don't know why people come for her neck either. Like, I like her. I'd be real honest. Like, I like her a lot. People say that she's not educated and she's
dumb. Who are we talking about? I'm sorry.
AOC. Alexandria.
She's the girl that's... she's a part... she was there last night.
She was...
Oh, okay. Got you. Is she of a different nationality, though?
Yeah, she's Puerto Rican from the Bronx.
Oh, okay. 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 Continue.
Yes. She actually did an interview with The Breakfast Club, and I just watched it today. And okay, if somebody would talk as direct... Mm-hmm. As she does, and that's the problem I have with a lot of these debates. They talk in circles as if they don't even have talking points.
Yeah.
Whomever their speechwriters are, they need to be fired because they suck.
Got you.
Like, stay on topic and explain something. What she was explaining about healthcare.
Okay.
And Medicare for all. And this made a lot of sense. I work for an insurance company. I work for a Medicare company.
Gotcha.
And what I've seen in my industry is a lot of insurance brokers who have sold medical insurance. Mm-hmm. Every single time I speak to one of them, no matter what side of the coin they fall on politically, they all agree that they hate what Obama did. They hate Obamacare because Obamacare tanked our industry.
I never really fully understood how, though.
How did it tank it? And what AOC was saying was making some sense, and I wish they would expound on that. Yeah. Expound on that so we can understand. And basically what she said, from what I understood, is if you have a single payer plan and you take away the privatized sector, what happens is, and this is what happened with Obamacare, because you still had the private sector, mm-hmm, the government, or that single payer or Obamacare, it became so hard for them to qualify people for medical insurance, right, that the people who could qualify ended up paying a higher premium. So it didn't necessarily do what it was supposed to do. Because when you have a block of business, and this makes sense, when you open up an insurance block of business, you want healthy people and you want sick people in there.
Yes.
Well, you really want the healthy people, because the healthy people are going to cover the sick people's claims when it comes in.
Yes.
And what happens is that when you still have private companies selling the insurance, well, you're getting all of the sick people onto the single payer plan. So now you're flooding that industry. Mm-hmm. And then the people who have to pay for it have to pay for those sick people. So now they're paying a higher premium.
Yeah.
And that's why she was saying, if you just take away the private sector, you have a mix of a healthy block of a business and the sick block. And we can afford to get premiums at an affordable premium.
Wow, that makes perfect sense.
If somebody could just explain that and talk about what their plans are, we can make educated decisions.
Got you. But they always go around in circles. It's always fluff. And that's why I feel like they do that purposely, to get you confused. And whoever has the snappiest comeback, like Joe Biden was doing yesterday, was so unnecessary. It's like, yo, are you 77 or are you 17?
It was corny as
like,
fuck.
Very, very. And it was just like them going at each other, and mainly everybody going at either Mike Bloomberg or Bernie Sanders. It was just way too much.
Because, and Mike Bloomberg's response is like, I don't respect anybody that I feel like I could take on in a debate. Like, I need you to be more comprehensive than I am. And if somebody comes to you, first of all, I thought I wasn't rocking with Bernie on the first debate when he was coming at Mike just because he's a billionaire.
Yeah, yes. I know. I had a problem with that, too.
He was like, you're a billionaire, so you're evil. Like, get the heck out of here. Like, yo, what's the American dream? Like, I get it. We don't vote based on what our dreams are. We vote based on where we are now so we can have an impact. Mm-hmm. That's corny to me. Like, this is still America. We still want to strive to be great.
Yes, of course we do.
We do, but we know that Michael Bloomberg wasn't just, you know, the nigga's evil. Like, you don't be out here fronting. Like, you wasn't rubbing elbows with all these, with Donald Trump. Nigga, that's one of your closest friends. Y'all do golfing together. Not golfing events, but golfing together. Just you two and a few other people. So, it's like, I understand what Bernie's saying. Like, you can't judge people by how much money they got. He did make some smart decisions, but you also did some evil things. And we know if you do get in office, which you won't, because no one's going to vote for you.
Nobody's going to vote for him.
But we know that if he did, he would definitely flip.
But I feel like if you're going to make that case, make it properly. Don't just say because you're a billionaire, you're evil, you sound stupid.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to endorse you because you sound like a fucking moron. You know what I'm saying?
I understand
that's definitely true. But Bernie sounds better than Donald Trump. That's my only thing. It's like, for people to give Donald Trump a chance to get in the office and then complain about Bernie, something's wrong with that picture.
Donald Trump is not doing anything.
I think in 2016, I think what we underestimated was the amount of Caucasian voters and racists.
And Christians.
Religious people alike. We didn't think that they were going to go so hard. I think people were really, and this is just my personal opinion, I think people were really, white people, religious people, whomever, if you fit the bill, you fit the bill. They were pissed that Barack Obama, a black man, served two terms. So I felt like it was like, okay, you know what? Fuck that. He's been in here for 8 years. We don't want another nigga up in here for 8 years. We don't want to deal with, you know what I'm saying, the bullshit we had to deal with for the last 8 years. So now we're going to do you guys dirty. Now we're just going to get somebody in here who does not follow the rules, who did not come up from a political background, who's out here doing wild, crazy shit. This is your payback. I feel like that. Because people that were illiterate, that they probably don't even know how to spell Trump, were outvoting.
I have a problem with that. I agree. I definitely get where you're coming from. But I don't think, back to what Ashley said, I don't think people are saying, like, we're complaining about Bernie, but we're not complaining about Donald Trump. That's not the thing. It goes back to, is it going to be Bernie or is it going to be Donald Trump? Because you know Donald Trump's base is going to come out and rock with him. The thing is can Bernie get the base to come out and rock with him?
I truly think he can.
It's going to be another 4 years of Donald Trump.
Yeah, I truly think that he can.
Bet on, because his base is coming out hard.
And that's
they are, but a lot of Donald Trump supporters have switched up. A lot of them have. And I mean, we really won't know until they go back to vote. Yes. But honestly, like, a lot of people who were for him at the beginning are starting to wake up and realize, like, this is not it. This ain't it. Because he's not giving us anything. What has Donald Trump did in the last 4 years?
Build half of a wall?
What'd you say? You said build half of a wall?
Yeah.
And didn't even finish.
No, seriously.
Like, and he hasn't done anything.
And there's no shame in my game. I voted for Trump. In 2016, I voted for him. Yes, in 2020, this year around, I'm not making the same mistake twice. So, whoever...
And why did you vote for him?
I voted for Donald Trump based on his views in terms of definitely pregnancy and abortion.
You don't have to go into it like that. I'm just saying, like, what was the reason? It's obviously just, because you're Christian.
There were a lot of viewpoints that he had that I believed in and I supported. Now, do I support him being an asshole? No. But I do support a nigga being real. And that was one of the things he was versus Hillary Clinton. So I made that decision.
This is why I say I like Bernie. We as people need to, I think we gotta start paying more attention to people's character, their morals, and the value of their character instead of what they believe in. Because Christians, because that's our next segment, a lot of Christians voted for Donald Trump because of his beliefs. But his character is terrible.
That's the crazy thing, Ashley. I don't understand.
I don't get it.
I bring this up to people. And here's the thing. To be honest with you, I'm pretty indifferent. Like, I want the same thing from everybody. Like, if Donald Trump does something and it's a positive thing for our country, I don't hate the man.
No.
I have no bias towards him. You know what I mean? Like, I will be the first to say, like, yo, that was a good decision.
Exactly.
I may not endorse everything else that he does, but I mess with that.
Gotcha.
I'm not partial towards the left or the right. Really, I think everybody sucks until they prove themselves unsucky. You know what I'm saying? That's my mentality.
Yes.
So I'm not partial, but I don't understand, as a Christian base, when this man does something, and does something that is clearly out of character, does not represent Christ, there has not been many Christians that I have spoken to that can say, you know what, I hear what you're saying, and I don't endorse that character, I don't endorse that, but I still believe that he's the best man for the job. Like, I don't even see that. I typically see people just scapegoating the fact that he did anything wrong.
Exactly.
And they just endorse him anyways. Like, it's completely, what's the word I'm looking for? Dismissive.
Ooh.
It is so dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. It scares me.
Yeah. It is scary. Because that's when you know that people aren't really continually basing it on core values.
Exactly.
Core beliefs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now it changes from that to be like, you know what? These people are coming at him, so I'm just going to support him no matter what. Because he's getting it from all sides. The enemy, and people are just hating him because he's a follower of Christ, but that's not the reason why people don't like him.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. That's cultish to me, and that scares me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's not that we don't, and I don't like him or not like him. My thing is, does he do asshole shit? Yeah. More than any other president that I've ever witnessed in office? Hell yeah. But that's because he didn't come from that background. And that's why also, too, along with an age restriction, I believe that you have to have a political background. You cannot be some Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street and you just fill out some of the requirements, but you don't have a political background and you can run and be the president. Whoa. Do you understand what I'm saying? The wheels are already in motion. Mm-hmm. Nothing we could do about that. But I do have a problem with that. And him not having any past history, no references, no nothing, this man blazed a path all his own. And the crazy thing was, it got him in office. It got him in office.
It definitely did. It most certainly did.
So that's the crazy part to me. But
and now he can do almost anything while he's there. And his base will never condemn anything that he does if it's wrong. Nope. You can support the man. Support him.
Yep.
If that's what you like, say I like it. But when you see something that clearly goes against what you stand for you not to be able to say that I don't support, that is scary to me.
Yeah. Agreed.
Right. It makes no sense. So, so what about that law that you found out about, Nick?
All right, so there is, I'm going to look it up for us real quick. It's the Johnson Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you when it was signed. And basically, the Johnson Amendment, I believe, was passed in 1954.
Okay.
And it's a provision in, basically it's an amendment that basically is a part of what I understand, like separation of church and state. So like nonprofits, 501(c)s, churches, organizations like that are not allowed to publicly endorse a political figure.
Mm-hmm.
So take, for example, let's talk, like let's say some of the mega churches, like Joel Osteen's church.
Yes.
however many members that they have, like huge congregations like that. What if, and what I believe is that now Trump has overturned that. I'm not exactly sure if it's in full effect. I have to double check, but from what I'm seeing, I believe that he's overturned that amendment. So now, going forward, nonprofits, churches can endorse political figures, you know, publicly. So let's say you take somebody like Joel Osteen, who's what, got a congregation of 20,000, stupid?
A lot.
And he can endorse a freaking politician.
Yeah, but and then you know that that's what Trump was doing to get his black vote.
That's
he was going to churches.
Like, this man has access to 52,000 people. So
imagine
what the messages are going to start looking like.
Exactly.
And I feel like as Christians or people who believe in God or are spiritual, this should be really scary to us. And I see this as like the time to where it's going to start divvying up. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, who really believes in the heart of God and who believes in the system and the structure? And this, I don't know, it's scary to me. Like, it's just, I know people who feel now if you don't see that Trump was put there by God, then you must be going against God's will.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if you already have people who feel that way, just regular schmegular people who feel that way, imagine giving that type of voice, power, and authority to somebody who's leading 52,000 people.
Yeah. See, but then it comes down to the individual. Like, it basically comes down to the individual. So let's just say, you know, the Johnson Amendment, you know, was overturned, and you can publicly, a church or a religious leader can publicly endorse a politician, etc. That individual, those individual members have to say to themselves, okay, I understand what my pastor's saying, but if it doesn't align with my spirit, I'm not doing it. I don't care what you say.
But let's be honest, a lot of people who are in the church don't do that. So
we
got to focus on what was really going on in the church.
No,
so Trump, that's how he got a lot of his black vote. When he was running to become president, he was going to a lot of black churches with Omarosa. He was in the front row. He was doing a little fake little two-step, fronting like he knows God, and clearly he doesn't, because if he did, he would not be doing the things that he does. You understand what I'm saying? No, Christian people are not perfect. No, believers are not perfect, but we do know right from wrong. One thing I know for a fact, that God would not be okay with this a grown man over, not even just a grown man, a man period, or a woman would be sexualizing their children. That's very disgusting. Saying that it, you know, grab people by the pussy, very disgusting. Also, you know, I understand if you want to come to America, you need to do it the right way, but judging these people, a lot of them who do come over here, they are coming here to find a better life, and they are coming over here and they are doing good things. Not all of them are coming here and causing problems.
That's true.
And I mean, look at our president. So would they really want to come here? So it's like, we got to stop with this whole, like, the beliefs of Christianity, because the beliefs that Trump has are terrible. Like, his beliefs are judging people. Christians should not be doing that. We're not supposed to judge people. But what is Trump doing? Judging people.
Yeah.
He judges people on a daily basis. He sexualizes his daughter. That is disgusting. That's nothing to even do with Christianity. That's just with humanity. You should not be sexualizing your children. That's nasty. Like, that's disgusting. And then a bunch of stuff that Trump is, like, anybody who could defend him, like, your character is in question.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, people make mistakes. And yeah, you know, people, I understand people make mistakes, and we all make mistakes. And in God's eyes, you know, no sin is worse than the other. It's all the same.
Yes.
But Trump is disgusting.
Maybe because the wool is just pulled over so many Americans' eyes, and they just can't see past, you know, what's going on.
See, but then to me, that's a problem with that with the older generation.
You
can't, because we see what it's for. You understand what I'm saying?
You would have to.
You gotta agree. Come on, sis.
I definitely like, do. I do. I give you that one. I think, you know, the older generation, the one thing that the younger generation does well is ideals, right? Like, we have the idea that we really should live like everybody should be equal and free, and You know what I mean? Like, we're not so stuck in a lot of the systems and oppression that the older generation tolerated.
Yeah.
I just don't think our application in our younger generation is necessarily right. No, that's all.
Definitely not, but I just feel like it's definitely the baby boomers. It's, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%.
Those are the people that are, you know what I mean? That are there and casting their votes. And folks that are 40 and over, those are the ones that have made the most impact in 2016 in terms of votes. And, I mean, the younger generation did come out, too. But it's mainly the older. So in 2020, this year, we have to say to ourselves, people really do have to take a step back from all the gunk that's going on, all the noise that's happening in the news, what's happening with the tweets. Mm-hmm. He has way too much time on his hands to be tweeting like he does.
Yo, I can't get with that.
Yeah, it's just
I
too much. It's too much going on. And I think we have to be individualist in this case.
Oh, that's a good word.
Yeah, and take up our own thoughts. Sit back, read everything that's going on, but cast our own decision based on what's going on, and then vote that way. Now,
but if you follow religion, is that the right thing to do?
Well, I don't follow religion.
I'm not asking.
Okay,
all right.
So if I were to follow religion, no, that they wouldn't think that what I just said would be the right thing to do. But see, that's why I feel like change, I don't feel like it's gonna happen. Call me crazy. I feel like Trump is gonna get another 4 years. I'm just being honest with the way things are going. Mm-hmm. I do not believe a Democrat that was on the air last night live, none of them would be able to compete against him. I'm sorry. That's just my personal opinion.
So who are you voting for to end this off? Because I don't want to keep dragging it.
Okay,
so,
no problem.
As of right now, not if I. As of right now, if you had to choose out of anybody from the Democratic poll, who are you voting? Who are you voting for?
Tom Steyer.
Okay, Nikki, who are you voting for?
Dang, why you gotta do that right now, Ash?
Come on, you gotta choose. It's either you gonna vote for them or Trump. Come on, where you going? I need to know where you going. I need to know which way you walking in, okay? Which direction? Bernie, for me. Where you going, Nikki?
Yeah, I know you going, Bernie.
I'm going my Uncle Bern.
Bernie or Elizabeth Warren. I feel like Elizabeth Warren is a little bit more moderate.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bernie because he has AOC on his side.
Yeah.
I like some things that Bernie says. I'd probably say Bernie just because I think he'll get more endorsement than she will.
Definitely.
Yeah. And we also got to remember, like, you know, the Congress is not going to pass any bill that Bernie is trying to push anyway. So it's like, I'm not even worried about this nigga trying to get us free healthcare. It's not going to happen. Like, he's going to try, but it's not. Obama tried. It did not happen. So it's like, it ain't going to happen. But I appreciate your generosity, Uncle Byrne. Like, I appreciate it. We know it's not going to happen, but we appreciate it. And we see you. He's invited to my cookouts this summer. He's invited to the 4th of July cookouts on a Saturday. He can slide through. He gonna have a plate. Him, the wife, the kids, the grandkids, great-grandkids. Everybody's invited.
Because you know, he got the grandkids now.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm inviting the whole fam. Everybody can come. Sean King, everybody. Come on.
Yeah, I'm down with
that. You know what I'm saying? Uncle Byrne gonna have a special seat. You know, air conditioning. He's straight. Yeah. But I don't know.
Okay, one last.
But Nikki, no, Nikki didn't answer her question. Did she say?
Yeah, she said.
Okay, so one last question.
Burn.
All right. So one word.
One word.
Gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
Second word. Thoughts.
I think gentrification is a good thing and a bad thing. I think it's a good thing because certain communities, I feel like, need it. But I feel like it's a bad thing when you're trying to get rid of the culture in that community and bring in a whole new different culture. I think to knock down buildings and build up something that's better, or to make the community better and have like programs and places where kids can go and help people who are like small business owners and, you know, make sure that people have a safe place to live in, I don't think that that's a bad thing. But I feel like when you try to do like kind of what where we live is, you know, doing right now, I feel like they're kind of trying to push the poor out and bring in all of these people from the city. So I feel like when you try and take away the culture of a community, that's a problem. But I feel like when you are trying to better a community and the people who are already there and make it a safe space for more people to come, I don't think that's a problem.
I understand. So before, Nikki, I let you respond, or I even respond, the definition does say, for gentrification is the process of renovating and improving a house or a district so that it conforms to the middle class taste. So Nikki, your opinion on gentrification would be?
So my opinion on gentrification, you know, idealistically, I see a need for it. Like, for example, where I'm at, like, within the last, I want to say 5-6 months, like, we've had, I think, like, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 shootings. That's so crazy. It's been a lot. And most of them, I think, in the case of all of them, they've been fatal.
Oh, gosh.
It's sad. It's really, really sad. So, obviously, and this isn't, you know, where I'm at is not even, I don't even consider it urban. You know, this isn't...
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. This isn't Newburgh. You know what I mean? These aren't, like, real places like that. So, for it to even happen here, it's like, that's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But, do I think that this type of environment should be normalized? No.
No.
I don't. So, the benefit of gentrification, because it supposedly does create safe spaces, you have better education, you have more programs, things like that. It looks squeaky clean. If we could gentrify our own communities,
yes,
that, I would be down for that. Keep the people here, keep our culture here, have affordable housing. But realistically, when gentrification happens, you got big dollars coming in. Most of the time, it's not people in the community.
Exactly.
People are being bought out and pushed out. And that's just the way that it goes.
I mean, it truly does suck. I agree with definitely what the both of you have stated. I just feel like it can be beneficial, but usually in most times it's only beneficial for one side.
Yes.
It's not beneficial for people who cannot afford to live the lifestyle. It's only beneficial for those who can. So I just feel like, and then where do those people that can't afford it, where do they go?
Exactly.
What happens to them?
It's like, that's why I feel like that definition of gentrification needs to change.
Yeah, because
it's not for the middle class.
So it definitely doesn't really conform to the middle class. I feel like that's just high end. It's high class.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to be able to afford the lifestyle. Like Beacon.
Beacon changed.
I want to say 6, maybe 8 years ago, Beacon was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs, crime, everything was just really, really bad. They came in, they changed that place up, and although I still witness people with mental health issues and homelessness is rampant on the main street of Beacon, but the majority are high class, financially wealthy folks that live there. And
you can't touch Beacon.
So expensive that you can't afford it.
Yeah, you can't get in there. You definitely can't get in there. Yeah, Beacon's definitely outpriced. Now, a lot of people from Beacon have bought early. And I think that to me should be the mentality that we should start teaching.
Right.
We should start teaching people. We should start teaching our communities. Listen, you want to start buying and getting places, buy 2-family homes. We're in New York. New York is known for the 2-family home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you can't get a 2-family home, at least buy your place.
Yes.
Get into an early, you know, a program to where you can buy a house, a home buying program, first-time home buyer program. But we need to change our mentality and start thinking equity, because these people are going to come in and they are going to buy up your community, and they are going to kick you out, because that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm necessarily for, like, is gentrification good or bad, but why are we not, in a sense, reclaiming gentrification? Why are we not buying our communities and doing what we want to do with them? We need to get ahead of it as opposed to being the ones that are always left behind.
Because we are always left in the dark. I feel like we find out about it after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So when things are already happening is when the community finds out.
Yeah, but there's
that's real.
But there's usually people. I'm sorry.
No, my love, because I know you're gonna make a valid response.
Yeah, a lot of the times it's not even a fact of like people not like, especially I'm not speaking for everybody, so I'm gonna speak for my people, black people. it's not a sense of we don't know or we can't or we don't want to. It's also a sense of them trying to push us out. There is a lounge on Main Street, 380 Main Street, which is Pier Lounge. I hope I'm saying the right address. But Pier Lounge is actually a dope lounge on Main Street. It's really, really nice. They have like R&B night, Jamaican night, rap night, hip hop, all that. It's very nice. They have been shut down constantly. The police are coming up in there, shutting it down for no reason. Gotcha. And they also have a documentary on YouTube, so you could look it up, so you could, you know, see what's really going on. And this is a black man who owns it. So it's like, we got to keep pushing. And it's like, we all, as black people, got to come together, because it's like, we do try, but then there's people in those higher up seats who will shut it down. Yeah, that's true. You understand what I'm saying? Poughkeepsie is building... Poughkeepsie is building a freaking movie theater on Main Street. Why do we need a movie theater on Main Street? That makes no sense. But it doesn't even make sense. Why do we have a movie theater? We do not need a movie theater on Main Street. It doesn't make any sense.
Definitely not.
So it's like, we gotta... Unfortunately, it's not really like, you know, what you know is who you know. And it's also how much money you got. Because, but the thing is that I think that it's super unfair that us as black people have to be overpriced to get something that you've given to the next person for cheap.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that's a two-sided thing. And I think this is where I really enjoy our discourse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is part of us being disruptive. Like, a lot of what I say kind of comes at, I want to come at the side that's supposed to, you know what I mean, be there for me. That's why you see me saying things about Democrats. That's why you see me saying things about my generation. Mm-hmm. That's why you see me saying things about black folks and people of color, because I also want to challenge us as much as I challenge them.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So I agree with you, but there are going to be systems in place to keep our communities from having the power.
Definitely.
It's always going to be a power struggle. We have to know that going in, and it sucks, but we have to be equipped.
Yeah.
Part of the way that we can be equipped, in my opinion, is by changing the way that we think, the way that we spend our money, the way that we invest. Once we start doing that as a whole, it's going to be harder for them to keep us out. But yeah, in situations like that, that's crazy. I didn't know they shut down and do all that type of stuff with Pure.
I didn't realize it twice.
That's crazy.
And they've done it recently. They shut it down for no reason, and then everything was fine within 2 weeks, and they had to open back up. But those 2 weeks, you're missing out on money.
Exactly.
Because they're packed every night. Yeah, so it's like, and then you're doing it for no reason.
In the building, you won't be able to pay your rent.
Exactly.
If you don't have income coming in. And that's what I'm saying. Designed to shut it down. And I would think, not knowing anyone who's on the back end, but I would think that their mindset would be, if you do this long enough, you shut it down, you get them out of there, then you can bring something else in that caters to the crowd that we're trying to
attract.
Entice.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? To buy
Definitely.
So there's a method to that madness. And I just feel like, is it wrong? Hell yeah, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and then how much can a person take? Like, that owner, we don't know his financial situation. It may be a situation where, if this shit happens one more time, we're screwed. But they bank on that. Do you understand what I'm saying? The government, the town, people that are in positions of power, they bank on that shit.
Agreed. I agree with that structure. Like, so the structures are set up against us. But here's my problem with us.
For sure.
We act like assholes. We come in and we shoot up places, we stab up places, and we get in trouble. We do the dumb shit to also warrant certain things to be shut down. Now, maybe not in this particular case.
Yes.
But more often than not, we also give people a reason to have those systems against us. And I'm not saying all the time.
No, I understand.
No, but the sad part about it.
We need to do better.
We do. We definitely do. But then we also need to do better, and as to stop judging people, because when white people do it, it's overlooked. You understand what I'm saying? I went to Poughkeepsie High School from pre-K up until my freshman year. Never had a drug bust. Never had nobody coming into school to shoot it up. Soon as I went to Arlington High School, which is in Pleasant Valley, which is predominantly white, we've had 3 drug busts in my first year there.
That's
3
crazy.
Of those white kids were all arrested for having heroin, cocaine, crack, all of this stuff in the school, they covered it up. We had two school shootings that actually didn't happen. They caught it beforehand, but the school had to be closed twice in my first year of going there. And those were all done by white people. Yeah, that's never happened. Let me finish, please. Okay, yep. That never happened in Poughkeepsie. So the thing is that when one black person shoots up a club, oh, these niggas is in here shooting the place up. But then when these white niggas is in here stabbing people and killing people, oh, he has mental issues. We got to stop doing that. We understand that that's always going to be the thing against us. But recently when they closed Pierre, it had nothing to do with shooting. I've never even heard of a shooting at Pierre, and Pierre's been open for a few years.
Yeah, no, I haven't either. I've been there. I think it's a good establishment.
But people done died.
In general, like up here, our places are closed down because people are up here getting stabbed. So they won't have the way they code it, mm-hmm. and there's coding, they won't have a hip hop event. They're not having a black event mm-hmm. at this place now until, you know what I mean? Like, it's too much liability. I'm gonna be honest with you. You know, like, I'm trying to switch my mentality as a money person. I want my net worth to be high. I want to think like risk and return.
Yes.
So if I have an establishment and I have to shut down because people are getting stabbed, blah, 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 that's not enough return on my risk. No, I'm not doing that. No, so I'm as a people, we need to upgrade our thinking as well. I'm not saying that there's not going to be structures in place that make that harder for us, but it always has been.
Right.
But we have to also move smarter. To me, it's a two-way street. We're never going to get the progress we look for depending on a system to take care of us that was not even put there for us in the first place.
Yeah. And that is exactly it. That is exactly it. It wasn't designed to help us. It was designed to hurt us. And the reason why we don't know about what goes on in the quote-unquote white neighborhoods is because they have the financial means to cover shit up, to keep shit quiet. To a certain extent, as opposed to a black community who's living poverty stricken, they don't have that. They don't have those means to keep something quiet if something were to go down. Versus if it were in a upscale neighborhood, I'm pretty sure bad things happen there all the time. Do we hear about them? No. Because all you have to do is pay this one off, pay that one off, tell this one to be quiet, threaten that one, and then there you go. With us, they're not for us. They're going to expose everything because they want to make it look like it really is a bad thing. And I'm not saying that it's not always a bad thing, but sometimes situations are unfortunate and they just happen. But we just don't have that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do anything about it. We just have to understand the odds that are stacked against us. That shouldn't stop us, but we should recognize the odds that are stacked against us. Mm-hmm. That's all.
But don't let that stop you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It shouldn't stop us. But I'm just saying, we have to recognize the odds stacked against us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty that are.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning of time.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't let it stop you.
You're right.
Doesn't matter if it's there. Be disruptive. Get to it. Don't let nothing get in the way of you living your dream.
Yeah. I like how you ended that.
Oh, yeah, let's get busy with it. I liked it too.
And thank you all for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed this
episode
as much as we enjoyed discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your comments, guys. We're on Instagram. What's the Disruptive Innovation Pod?
Mm-hmm.
All right, on Instagram, and hit us up, guys. We're on every major platform. Let us know what you think about this episode, and be sure to chime in. Ask a question. We'll get back to you.
We out.
Peace. Love y'all.
Take care.